This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The American Farm Bureau says public attitudes may be changing towards the anti-GMO movement, despite local bans, bills, and ballot questions. At least a dozen places around the nation have banned or limited genetically modified crops, most recently two southern Oregon counties. 85 bills on GMO labeling are pending in 30 states, with dueling bills in Congress. American Farm Bureau spokesman Mace Thornton says AFBF opposes initiatives that limit farmers' use of biotechnology.
Whenever that happens in a local jurisdiction, basically all it does is it puts that jurisdiction's farmers at a clear disadvantage in regard to being competitive. The initiatives are costly trying to get in there and speak up with the best science that we know says that all of this technology is safe. It fails to really recognize the benefits of biotechnology to farmers and the environment. And we think in the long run, it could really impact our ability to have that robust food supply that we need to feed not only people here in this country, but worldwide.
But despite GMO's opponents, Thornton claims public opinion may be shifting the other way now.
Some of the people who were previously opposed to GMOs are starting to reconsider whether or not they should take a second look. And that's all based on what this means to the future of feeding the world. We're seeing mainstream media outlets take a little bit different voice. We're seeing some people on the progressive side of the political spectrum look at GMOs again and saying, you know, maybe we were too quick to judge the first time through.
Thornton says with about half U.S. planted acres now producing GMO crops, it all boils down to growing more food on the same or fewer acres to feed a soaring world population that could top 9 billion by 2050. A new research paper debunks the myth that carcass quality must come at the expense of maternal function in cattle. Virginia animal scientists reviewed nearly 70 individual studies in an effort to answer the question, has selection for marbling hurt cow herd productivity? Scott Grainer explains what they found.
In a nutshell, what we found is that no, it has not, and that marbling has a very small, if not insignificant, relationship with most of the traits that we associate with cow herd productivity.
The work examines the relationships between marbling and traits like heifer puberty and calving ease, finding no correlations. In general, as marbling increases, so does milk production, the authors say. But expected progeny differences, or EPDs, and indexes allow ranchers to make selections that fit their environments.
I think the take-home message, as we use the various tools to look and come up with answers, is that balanced trait selection. We know that marbling is important, and from a consumer satisfaction and meeting market demands, etc. But we also know that there's a variety of traits which impact our bottom line. So balanced trait selection for economically important traits.
Keeping all traits in mind does not mean you can't make directional change. However,
I think if we look at the tools that we have available through Sire Summary and identify bulls which will take us in a certain direction and in traits simultaneously, those bulls are available. And that's the great news that we have in the beef industry, and particularly in the Angus breed with the tremendous database. We can sort through that and find those unique bulls that we can select for more than one trait and make significant progress simultaneously.
Producers can expect to see more directional change in carcass traits, which are highly heritable as compared to those reproductive traits, he says. To review the paper, you can visit www.cabpartners.com. In 1904, a grain elevator was built in the town of Atlanta. It was closed in the mid-70s. In the early 90s, a few of the townsfolk decided to save the aging building, and now it's on the Registry of Historical Places in the United States. Todd Gleason from the University of Illinois prepared this tour of the J.H. Hawes Grain Elevator and Museum with Marge and James Coleman.
The engine came from the Eminence Grain and Coal Company, which is about 3.5-4 miles out of town, and it was restored by Dean May, and he put it back in really wonderful condition, and that's how it got here. Thank you. lot of volunteer work has gone in. The bricks in the engine building were all cleaned by volunteers in the cold old days. And we've had a lot of people volunteer their help on laying bricks and carrying mortar and fixing windows, and we have tried to keep it as historically as possible.
Well, I guess we might say it's just we enjoy showing people how it used to be done. I can't say primitive way, but somewhere between primitive and modern day, it was done through houses like this. Well, they stopped on the scale platform with the load originally, and then after they weighed and cleared the scale house, they'd drive on up in here and stop on the dump logs, and they'd trip it and run the load down in the pit, and into the leg, and up in the bin.
The scales came from out in the country, and I was just riding my bike in the morning downtown, and there were four people walking around, and I had a feeling they had been from here, and I stopped and visited with them. Make a long story short, we came over in the afternoon, and the scales in the scale house was from a farm out in the country, and they didn't know their dad very well because their parents had divorced, and when they looked down in the scales, there was their dad's name with grain that he had brought to that farmer, and he kept all the list of grain and the weights, and I soon saw tears in their eyes. The city hall and the library, when they're open, you can always get someone there to call one of us who have a key to open it and show you around. It's always open during June, July, and August on Sunday afternoons from 1 to 3. But if anybody comes through, most people in town know who to call and get the elevator open. And I ride my bike around a lot, and I've gone home and gotten the key many a time, brought people down here, and I've had a wonderful time showing the elevator.
Here are a few facts and figures about the machinery in the J.H. Hawes Grain Elevator Museum. The old gas engine that operates the elevator runs at 400 RPM and puts out 10 horsepower. The pulley system inside the building is driven by a single rope 280 feet long. The total capacity of the elevator is 29,000 bushels. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.